Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. More analysis of your Toronto Blue Jays and Major League Baseball. This is Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome to Baseball Central, the retribution version. Baseball Central, Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker.
How are we doing, Jeff?
We're doing well.
Good.
I want to throw at you.
You do?
No. Blue Jays beating the Baltimore Orioles 13-6 last night. A thumping administered to the Orioles in the first of a three-game series. But the storyline out of the game was another installment in the "Why do the Orioles hate Jose Bautista so much?" Saga that has been ongoing now for a couple of seasons. To set it up for you, last night, Jose Bautista was throwing at, or let me rephrase that, Jason Garcia, a Rule 5 draft pick, the Baltimore Orioles, threw behind Jose Bautista, not over his head behind, but behind, bad enough. And, of course, Bautista turned around the next pitch and hit a home run, much as he did in Baltimore earlier this year when Darren O'Day threw behind him. And Darren O'Day and Jose Bautista have had a history going back for a while now. It looks like it's kind of, it's all good fun and yucks and all that, but I don't think anybody wants to see a bean brawl develop as a result of this. More importantly, though, and I think, Kevin, this is something we got to talk about. We've got clips from Adam Jones and Jose Bautista, and I want to play both of them in a minute. But you know what? Given the fact that Marcus Stroman was suspended for 6 games last year for throwing behind Caleb Joseph, given the fact that we've seen the Kansas City Royals have a reliever suspended already for throwing behind somebody, I'd like to see the commissioner's office. I'd like to see them suspend Garcia. And you know what? Maybe hand out a fine to Buck Showalter, because with all due respect, I mean, Buck Showalter's playing the villain here, or playing the aggrieved party here. This is all in Buck Showalter. This is the way Buck Showalter manages. And you know what? I love Buck Showalter as a manager. He can manage my team every time. But you know what? Mm-hmm. This is how you manage. This is how he manages his team. And you're going to see things like this, Kevin. And before we get to the clips, I just wanted to ask you, okay, you're a former player. I'm sure you've had guys throw at you. I'm sure you've gone through all that. Before we talk about the logistics of whether or not there's retribution or anything, what would it feel like to be thrown at and then turn around on the very next pitch and, I mean, just assaulted?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never done that. We were talking about this off air, saying that he's basically one of the most impressive humans alive, because you get thrown at, you have so much emotions, you're mad at that person. And every time you're mad at doing a sport, you're usually not very good at it. And Bautista, for some odd reason, seems to zone in a lot more, keep the front shoulder in, which, you know, basically the entire game, he at the plate had no chance. He was
He did not look good.
I know he lined out a couple of times. He went to right field. He went to left field on a line drive. But he was taking strikes. He was swinging at balls. You could see that he's not seeing the ball very well. And then all of a sudden, Garcia throws behind him, and you could see when Bautista walked away that something clicked. Mm-hmm. Something said, I need to get my foot down sooner. I need to get my hands going. I need to do something to get the bad head out in front of the plate. And guess what? He did it, and he's cracking concrete in left field. I just, you know, you would think with Baltimore that they just, I don't understand why. To beat the Blue Jays, you have to get basically three guys out on a very consistent basis. They're not getting Edwin out. They're not getting Josh Donaldson out. Now you're not probably going to get Bautista out anymore because of what, you know, your approach to the way you want to go after Bautista. I don't understand the intentions behind this. I know Adam Jones came out and said it's not intentional and the kid's young. And I was a guy that tried to hit a lot of home runs in the minor leagues. Didn't so much at this level as much as these guys do it, but I did it a lot in the minor leagues. When I got thrown behind like that, a guy was trying to hit me because, you know, you're missing by feet. You're not missing by inches. And I know Garcia hit Ryan Goins earlier in the thigh. Well, that's acceptable. But when you're missing behind a guy and up, you know, closer to your head, closer to your shoulder, we talked about this. These guys are throwing 95, 96. I'm with you. I think something has to be done. You know me. I'm an old school guy. Mm-hmm. I think you have to establish things early. You have to take guys out at second base. I get it. But when you start going above the shoulder, at the, around the head, that's a different ball game. Then I agree with you. Something's going to have to be done here because, you know, you the way you do it, you get in guys' pockets. You suspend guys. That way it never happens again because you don't want to see a guy like Bautista out of a game not playing because he is one of the best players in the big leagues. Mm-hmm. You don't want to see these things. And if it keeps going like this, sooner than later you're going to see somebody get hit where they shouldn't be hit.
A couple of other items. Jose Bautista, who was just, I mean, steaming, got into it with Adam Jones during the crossover. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there was a ball hit to right field. And if I'm going to give Justin Smoke a pass on this, but he's got to realize that when somebody singles to right field, get your foot in first base because there's a chance Bautista's going to try to throw him out. Well, that happened last night. It didn't work. Smoke wasn't ready for the throw. And the other thing to keep in mind as well is Buck Showalter took Adam Jones out of the game.
Sure.
After the after Jose Bautista was thrown at, which, you know.
There's reasons why that
there's
happened.
There's reasons.
Yeah, it's not just a coincidence that he was taken out in the eighth inning when he was third up in the ninth. And he's not, you know, Buck Showalter knows what's happening.
Yeah.
He knows how it's going to be. Again, you talked about this on your show earlier, what's going to happen today. Aaron Sanchez is not going to hit anybody. As of the first two starts, he's having trouble throwing strikes.
Yeah, I'll tell you, if Aaron Sanchez hits somebody today, it's entirely possible that it isn't.
Well, the last time he hit a guy, which was Scope, I think,
yeah,
he walked up and said, "I'm sorry."
Yeah.
If you remember that.
Yes.
And I was the one guy that said, "Why did you do that?" Because, you know, that's how you have to pitch, is to knock people. But these are different things. These are different situations because you're up around the head. That's the only problem I have mm-hmm. with this. I understand that you have to get guys out, especially power guys in. I get it. But when you're missing by feet and you're in the big leagues, I don't care if you're a rookie, whatever the case may be, you've never been in the big leagues, you've never pitched to a guy like Bautista, I don't care. Up around the head, missing by feet. If he's not any good, don't pitch him.
So this is what was said after the game. The first clip is Adam Jones of the Baltimore Orioles talking about the incident.
Well, obviously, you thought his behavior was uncalled for.
Well, I mean, that's not him. First and foremost, you got to look at the situation. I mean, you got a 22-year-old guy, a rookie, Rule 5 out. He was on the buses last year. He's more nervous facing him than the other way around. The last thing he wants to do is to hurt somebody, especially hit somebody up shoulders and higher. Come on, the last thing he wants to do is that. And all right, you hit the home run, but he's got 200 something in his career. It's not his first one. It's not a walk off. It's in the middle. It's in the seventh inning. You know, hit it. Pimp will do it, a little pimp job. But don't walk. Let's not walk halfway further down the line. Come on, respect the game. I know he does.
Oh,
but
please.
At that moment right there, he didn't. And when it happens against my team, I'm going to take offense to it. You can't call out some 22-year-old rookie.
Just like you called out Aaron Sanchez earlier.
100%.
He's nervous. I mean, he was an A-ball last year. Their guy Sanchez last year, he hit a few people.
Hit one guy, Adam. One guy.
The territory. He's one of the game's best players, and that's uncalled for. I'm sure he's going to think about it and see the whole scenario. And probably,
I need hip waiters for all this BS, Parker. I don't know about you.
I think we'll have the last laugh.
Why did you feel you needed to let him know right away?
This is my team, man. I'm not going to let nobody come here and say anything to nobody on this team. That's just not going to work. You ain't going to sit there and pimp me. You pimp the pitcher, you pimping me too. Like I said, he's hit home runs. I've hit home runs against them, and I've never pimped one like he has did that today. I've been hit by them many times. I've never said anything. I went to first base, but, you know, I see his sentiments were different, so, okay.
Adam, is it a little extra emotional because there is a history there with him or no?
Well, the history doesn't lie with Garcia and Bautista. Let the history lie with him and O'Day. I think it's a great matchup. You know, I love it when they face each other. That's part of the game that you want to see. You know what I mean? O'Day's gonna face him every time, every opportunity he gets, because that's how the game's supposed to be played. But I mean, the actions that was just uncalled for. I don't want to cuss, but it just was uncalled for today. And I'm not gonna let nobody show up my teammates in a situation like that when a guy's definitely not trying to hurt somebody. And then I hear that Zahn said I should get hit. I think that's bull too.
Thought he wasn't gonna cuss.
Come on, Zahn. You gotta be a little smarter than that, dude.
Is this something that you would reach out to Bautista about and try to...
No, I don't need to reach out to nobody. We're grown men. We know how to handle all this stuff.
Adam, this is a contending team. Can something like this for the next two games play in your favor?
Well, we're going to have to come out tomorrow and face Sanchez, and we'll see how it goes. I mean, we're going to play the game with fire and passion as we always do. We're not gonna slow down for anybody. Mm-hmm. But I mean, things like that. That's uncalled for in our game, you know, and especially with the level of play that he's reached. That's just uncalled for to me.
It's Adam Jones of the Baltimore Orioles playing the victim card.
Would you expect anything different? What's he going to say?
I'm going to tell you something. We had fun with the clip. I have zero problem with the way anybody's handling this.
Yeah.
Zero
I just say
problem.
If the roles are reversed and he's being thrown behind above the waist, things are going to be done differently. He can say what he wants. This is the way it is. When guys that throw super hard, O'Day obviously doesn't throw super hard, but, you know, if it's above the waist, it's going to hurt. And you're throwing behind guys when you're spotting down mm-hmm. and away, and all of a sudden you're throwing a ball 3 feet behind you and above the waist. I'm sorry. I get it. I get Adam Jones is sticking up for his team, and that's what you should do when you're the leader of the team. But you have to step back and see it from a different side of it. If it was Adam Jones, this was happening to Adam Jones, what would he say?
Mm-hmm.
What would he do?
Yeah.
How would he handle it if he walked off it's not a walk-off home run, but right now, we've said this, you can't, you know, win pennants in April, but you can sure have a tough time coming back from it. So every one of these games matter. And Batista's gotten off to a slow start. I said this again. You need to watch. You know, John Gibbons said you need to watch how you wake up the dog or whatever he said, however mm-hmm. you put it. Well, we saw the game last night. Batista doesn't look very good at the plate. All of a sudden, after that one pitch behind your back, he does look good. I'm just saying, to beat the Blue Jays, everybody knows you have to get a couple of guys out in that lineup. Batista's struggling right now. He may not be struggling anymore because of this. If this is what Baltimore wanted to do, congratulations, this is what you did. And if you're a Blue Jays fan, hey, you just say keep doing it. Because,
yes.
That's Will. I mean, I don't understand how he could say this. I understand that he's, you know, the leader of the team. I get it. But I never hit a lot of home runs at this level. I used to hit a lot in the minor leagues.
Mm-hmm.
You get thrown behind by that much, somebody's trying to hit you. You can say what you want and say that the kid's young and he's riding buses. You can say what you want. But I've been there. I've done it. I know that's what you do. When you're trying to hit somebody, this is the show. You don't miss by feet. And we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and as I said, anybody who's watched any teams that Buck Showalter's, man, I mean, Buck Showalter plays it that way. This is what Jose Bautista had to say.
All I know is I'm going up to the plate. They keep throwing behind me. At least I've gotten the last laugh last two times.
Adam Jones was saying that, you know,
I could care less what Adam Jones was saying.
That's what I'm talking
about. What I
about.
Thought was Bush League or whatever adjective he used to describe the play was throwing behind me. That's what I thought. That was the Bush League move, not me doing what I did. I think they hide behind the way that, you know, their manager acts and conducts himself on the field. So they're going to continue to keep doing that until something comes down from MLB.
There you go, hiding behind the manager. I think Jose Bautista is 100% right. I think he's 100% right. Now, the question is, will MLB do anything? Well, they've already suspended a pitcher this year for throwing behind a guy, not hitting Brett Laurie. Now, granted, it was the buildup. It was the final act in a kind of a weekend-long tit-for-tat between mm-hmm. Kansas City and Oakland. But still, Kelvin Herrera was suspended. He threw behind Brett Laurie.
Marcus Stroman was suspended last year.
Marcus Stroman, I think MLB ought to come down. And I'll tell you what, you got two Orioles pitchers doing it now. Maybe it's not just the pitchers.
Yeah.
Maybe you hit Buck Showalter as
well. I just don't like where they're throwing it. I don't mind you want to hit a guy. You want to do whatever you do. Keep it below the waist. You guys throw hard. It's getting to the point you're seeing. It's like you said, you're seeing Kansas City. These guys throw 95 plus. I'm here to tell you, that hits you anywhere around your head, your neck. It's just going to be a shame that great players get hit in that area. They're not going to be in the game for very long. They're going to be on the DL for a while, and you're not going to see them play. And that's a shame because these guys are great players. Regardless of how you think they handled certain things, they're great players. And the Blue Jays are only going to have a chance if Batista has a monster year. I mean, we can say it the way we want. He has to have a monster year. He's a huge deal on this team. And I think something has to be done and an example has to be set. It's just the right way to play the game. Again, I say it, I'm an old school guy. I believe in the way the game should be played. And I understand you hit guys, that's the way you do it. Keep it below the waist and it's fine.
Mm-hmm. And we know that this is something that actually in the commissioner's office had has told teams earlier in the year, that they were going to attempt to monitor this. I just think at some point, as I said, at some point, something has to be done. And again, we'll see what happens tonight. I'm with Kevin. I don't expect anything tonight, game two of the three-game series. I want Aaron Sanchez to focus on getting guys out. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you this much, though. Pardon me. If somebody gets a big lead, then all bets are off.
Don't see it. I think if Aaron Sanchez goes seven scoreless innings, that's basically like you just squared up Adam Jones. Because you're going out doing your job.
And the Blue Jays, they want to win a couple of games here. They want to end this homestand.
I'm with you. They need to sweep this team.
Absolutely, at
least two out of three.
If you got a chance to sweep this team, I think you certainly do it. Kind of a story that really didn't get touched a lot on yesterday. The Blue Jays had a players-only meeting before the game, and I'm going to give the Blue Jays players credit because I've covered a lot of baseball, and I've seen a lot of players-only meetings. It is the easiest thing in the world to find out what was said in a players-only meeting. It used to be you go talk to Adam Lind. And you'd find out, hey, Adam, what was said? Anyhow, I love Adam Lind, but that's the way it used to be. I don't know. The players had a meeting. What do we need to do? Let's go find Adam Lind. He'll tell us. Anyhow, I'm going to give the Blue Jays players credit because nothing came out about this meeting. I was joking with somebody. I said the only reason you closed the door is because Navarro and Martin wanted to watch a soccer game. They wanted to watch a Champions League game. But whatever was said in the meeting, it stayed in the meeting, which is the way it should be. And whatever was said, I think, Kevin, we're probably safe in assuming that part of the dialogue had to do with Dalton Pompey and Daniel Norris and some of their comments. I think and that's why I looked at last night's game. That type of performance, a big offensive night, a night where your best player gets thrown at. I mean, you saw that dugout when Jose Bautista hit the home run. Everybody in that dugout was on the field. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they were on the field because they were getting ready to charge the Orioles dugout. I think they were on the field. They wanted to make a very public show of supporting their teammate, you know, and of celebrating his home run. But when you couple that meeting, home run, that type of environment, it's early in the season, but this could be a pretty significant point for this team in terms of kind of developing that glue
chemistry
that you need during the season.
Yeah, we talk about chemistry. We use that word lightly. It's showing up. It's showing up what Alex Anthopoulos has brought to this team. John Gibbons said last year there was a problem with that, and this year there's no problem. You fix it before it festers. You fix it before it bowls over, and that way you go out and you have good games. You have better approaches. How many balls last night were hit the other way?
There was a lot.
That's better approaches. And then you get better pitches to hit. Your big guys are going deep. That's how you win games. You don't have to go out and hit eight home runs or five home runs to win games. You can go the other way. You have better approaches. The more better approaches you have, the better pitches you're going to get to hit. And you're seeing it. It's very simple. It starts in a clubhouse, and it goes over to the field. It goes to the game. It goes to batting practice. It goes to taking ground balls. Mm-hmm. All of these things add up to winning and making the playoffs. Hey, the players understand how big of a season this is, not only for everybody that's around that team, but the organization as a whole. They understand. They get it. And they need to win games now. I understand it's early. I don't think it's early. I think you have to win a lot of games in April because of how many games you're playing in division. You can fall far behind with especially the young guys you have. That's great that Russell Martin is doing these things and Josh Donaldson and everybody else that's, you know, doing these things to get your team fired up and do it the right way. Hey, way to go, hats off. And it's showing. That's the impressive thing. It's showing on the field.
Mm-hmm. And my sense, too, look, everybody heard what Dalton Pompey said. And everybody heard what Daniel Norris said. And I think what you need to do if you're a veteran in that instance is nobody's going to criticize anybody for being honest, for giving an honest evaluation of their performance. But I think at some point, I always keep thinking back to a conversation that I had with Curtis Joseph, played goal for the Toronto Maple Leafs. horribly boring interview. Mm-hmm. Lovely guy. Horribly boring interview.
Right.
We had a conversation on my show a couple of years ago. We were talking about that, and he said, look, we talked about Roberto Luongo, a goaltender for the Vancouver Canucks, who had a tendency of, he was a drama queen. Everything was like Shakespeare. Oh, my God. You know, the world's ending.
Yeah.
And he made the point that, yeah, I would face the media at times, and mm-hmm. I'd feel awful. I had a horrible game. So there were games where I, especially late in my career, I'd go, man, I just, maybe I'm not that good anymore. But he said, I'm not telling anybody that.
Yeah.
You know, there's a wall between you and the media, a curtain between you and the media. And I think maybe we got a peek behind that curtain with Dalton mm-hmm. Pompey.
Yeah.
And I'm not entirely certain that that was something that his teammates need to see. And I'm sure it was addressed. All I know is Dalton Pompey. I watched Dalton Pompey around batting practice mm-hmm. yesterday and saw him on the field. He played that game with a smile.
Demeanor.
Plastered on
you
his
saw,
face.
We talked about that yesterday.
Absolutely.
Demeanor on the field. You can, you know, even John Gibbons talked about he was showing his emotions too much. You can give your hand. It means something that when you're on the on deck circle, you're walking to the plate, you're not beat yet. And a pitcher can see that. It's just, it makes your game better. It makes you a better player. Dalton Pompey is a great player. He's going to do well here. Basically, just simplify it. Go to the plate, have a good time, swing it, strikes, let it fall where it may. Yesterday, that's one step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just, young guys, you hope they don't take a couple of steps backwards. He took a step forward. That's all you can do when you're trying to get to your ultimate goal, which everybody knows what it is. Blue Jays want to make the playoffs.
He walked his first at bat, doubled to right, doubled to left, singled to right. Can you have a better game? You know, you'd have four home runs. Can you have a better game out of your seventh hole hitter?
No. Well, again, I told you it's not always production. It's how you go about it, how many pitches you see, how many strikes you swing at. It's very. You hear Brooke Jacoby say, did you beat yourself? That's basically mm-hmm. the only question you ever ask anybody. Did you beat yourself? How was your day today? Did you beat yourself? Well, that's how you go about your everyday life. The sooner you – I was a player. I didn't figure that out till later, and it cost me big league time. That's basically why I wasn't in the big leagues a long time, is because I didn't figure it out in a hurry. These guys are really good athletes. They're better athletes than I was. You figure it out now, you're in the big leagues forever because you're doing it the right way. You're playing the game the way it should be played. And, you know, it's hats off. You're seeing a step in the right direction. And as a fan, as what we do for a living, it's a lot of fun to watch, especially as much as this team has to. They have to win. So it's a great step in the right direction.
It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Kevin, you talked a little bit about this off the air, and we'd be remiss if we didn't mention this. Edwin Encarnacion last night, two home runs. He hit a ball into the fifth deck, the 18th player to do that. The, I believe, third Blue Jays player to hit multiple home runs into the deck. Jose Canseco, although Canseco did at least one when he was an opposing player. Mm-hmm. Josh Phelps, the other Blue Jays player to reach the fifth deck. And you made the point off air that you think Edwin's just about set to go off.
Well, you notice the balls he's hitting. He hit the home run to center. That when you start hitting home runs to center, to right center, that means you're keeping that front side in. Batista and Encarnacion are basically the same hitter. Obviously, they have different swings. Their approach are different. One has a huge leg kick. The other one, not so much. But they both do the same thing. They both try to get the bat head out in front of the plate. To do that, you have to get started on time. You have to see the ball first and keep the front side in. When Edwin and Batista start hitting the ball out to center and a little bit to right center, which Edwin's starting to do, it is just – that's when you start getting breaking balls. You start staying on balls longer, and you just react in. That's what Edwin's doing. He's reacting in. He's not looking in. He's mm-hmm. reacting in because he has a better – I talk about this all the time. He has a better approach. Middle the other way. I always used to be, when I was a hitter, I would walk to the plate, and I would pick me a spot in left center because I didn't want to look to right center. I wanted to react mm-hmm. in. Think about hitting the ball the other way because it keeps your bat head in the strike zone longer. It's the old Ken Griffey thing. The longer your bat head's in the strike zone, the more chances you have of getting a hit. So, to me, Edwin is just – he is like this close to going on another one of those Mays he did last year where he's hitting 15 home runs and he's hitting balls like that. I used to take batting practice here every day. That is a long way, but he's doing it the right way. Short and quick to the ball because he's not looking in. That's why I say it's just a matter of time before he does this every day, all day.
Yeah, I just thought I should make clear because somebody on Twitter said that I think Joe Carter hit one in the fifth deck and Sean Green. So I'm talking about multiple Blue Jays players have hit multiple home runs into the fifth deck. And the only ones to hit multiple home runs are Jose Canseco and Josh Phelps. They were 18 is the number of, of players who've actually reached the fifth deck, which, yeah, it's quite a poke.
It's far.
And like you, I was surprised at the tail of the tape. Now, they don't show it on the scoreboard as much as they used to, so but it measured at what? It
451, was, I think.
You'd think it'd be longer.
Go stand. If you're a fan, just go walk behind home plate or not walk – walk around the stands and look from home plate and look up there.
Yeah.
Looks a little further than 450 feet. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that's not a long way because it is, but, you know.
Okay, we're told 463 was the distance from ESPN.
Oh, well, that's a little a little bit further, but it still looks a lot further than that to
me. It always sounds good to say 500. Hit 500 foot.
500 level, you would think 500. I'm just saying.
Oh, and Travis McKenzie tells us it's tied for second longest in the majors this season. Who, dear friend, has hit the longest? A-Rod. A-Rod hit 470 on Friday.
Wow. That's in Tampa Bay.
Okay, so the Steven Souza home run from last week is tied with Evan. That was the kid from Tampa Bay who had himself quite a series in Toronto. Speaking of having quite a series, having quite a year, Kevin Pillar has done a hell of a lot more, I think, than a lot of people expected as Michael Saunders continues to rehab from his knee injury in Florida. Kevin Pillar has not only contributed offensively, he seems to, every other game, he's making the highlight reel with a catch. Kevin Pillar is making a real case to make things really interesting for the Blue Jays when Michael Saunders comes back, Kevin, because the Jays have said they want Michael Saunders to play every day. I'll tell you what, Kevin Pillar, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to take him out of the lineup unless he takes himself out of the lineup.
Well, you've said that it's probably going to be Michael Saunders. You watch every day. How do you not put Kevin Pillar anywhere on that field? How do you not do that?
I'll tell you what, if I'm Dalton Pompey, this would be a pretty good time to go on a hitting streak. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, Kevin Pillar is going to join us. We'll talk to Kevin Pillar about last night's game, what he expects tonight, and talk to Kevin Pillar about his start. Is he surprising himself? It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, we're back with Baseball Central. We will have baseball for you tonight on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. First punch. First pitch set to fly at 7 o'clock. It'll be Ubaldo Jimenez on the mound against Aaron Sanchez. Blue Jays Central will get you set for the game, 6:30 p.m. live on Sportsnet 1. First pitch set to fly just after 7 at Sportsnet 590, The Fan. The lovely and talented Jerry Howarth, the equally, I was going to have fun with it. Jerry Howarth, Joe Siddle, and Mike Wilner will have the call of the game for you. Buck Martinez, Pat Tabler, Barry Davis on Sportsnet 1 on the TV side, and then Mr. Mike Wilner will take your calls after the game on Blue Jays Talk and Sportsnet 590, The Fan. There is, of course, hockey tonight. There's hockey all over the place. The Stanley Cup playoffs continue. Hockey Central's pregame is at 6:30 p.m. in Sportsnet Ontario. Canadiens and Senators, 7 p.m. in CBC. Rangers and Penguins, 7 p.m. in Sportsnet 360. Blues and Wild, Game 4 at 9:30 in Sportsnet 360. And Kevin Barker's Winnipeg Jets against the Anaheim Ducks. Game 4 of that series, 9:30 p.m. on Sportsnet Ontario. The Jetties going for the sweep. Before we're joined by Kevin Pillar, let's take care of some business. I've got a qualifier, or we have a qualifier. We're giving away a chance to accompany the Raptors to Washington. And who knows, the way things are going, you may be playing point guard for the Raptors in the game if you're any good. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, is giving you a chance to go on the road with the Raptors thanks to our friends at Porter Escapes. This is a trip for you and three friends to see Game 3 Friday, Game 4 Sunday in Washington, D.C. The trip includes round-trip flights from Billy Bishop Airport to Dulles International. That is courtesy of Porter Escapes. Three nights hotel at the Renaissance Washington, D.C. Downtown Hotel. Four tickets to see the Raps and the Wiz on Friday. Four tickets to see the Raps and the Wiz Sunday night. You've got VIP clubhouse access at both games. That includes unlimited food and drink. Now think about this. You got a game Friday night. Saturday, you can do all the sightseeing stuff you want to do in D.C. It's a great city. You still got Sunday. You can do it as well. And take a hint from me. If you're going on this trip, get your ass down to Adams Morgan either Friday night after the game or Saturday. A great unknown fact about Washington, because it is the governmental center of your United States.
Right.
More single females under the age of 30 in Washington, D.C. per capita than any city in the United States. Travis McKenzie, you can look that up.
How do you know that?
I just know it. Wow. I had someone point it out to me.
Oh, someone.
I just, someone pointed it out to me.
I didn't know that.
Anyhow, so, but Adams Morgan's a great part of the city. You'll have a great time there. I can't give out the names of the restaurants and all that because that would be unethical.
Do you know why that is?
What?
That there's more single women there than...
Because it's government businesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of single people there. A lot of single people from across the country come there, and a lot and there are a ton of single women in Washington, D.C.
Hey,
so you know, not that it matters to me, but it might to a qualifier. Anyhow, I see. Anyhow, we're gonna take the fourth caller through at 416-870-0590 *591-888-666-0590 Fourth caller through. I knew he was gonna do that. You qualify for round trip airfare from Billy Bishop Airport to Dulles International, three nights hotel at the Renaissance Washington, D.C. Four tickets to see the Raps and the Wiz on Friday, a chance to start a point guard for the Raptors in Game 4. No, just kidding. Four tickets to see the Raptors play the Wiz on Sunday. Mm-hmm. VIP access at both games, including unlimited food and drink. Listen to Dean Blundell and company tomorrow morning for the grand prize winner, and our friends Brady and Walker will have another chance to qualify later on today. And good luck to those of you who qualify for this particular
contest. Sounds fun.
Do we have Kevin Pillar? We don't. Okay. Yeah, it's okay. I just couldn't tell. I couldn't tell. My screen is all lit up with people calling in for the trip. So as we await Kevin Pillar, Kevin, what do you make of the type of season Kevin Pillar has had so far? And I'll ask you, what would you do with Michael Saunders, we expect, back sometime soon? What would you do with Kevin Pillar?
Kevin Pillar's playing for me. I just don't think you can take that out of the lineup. He has great at-bats. He plays absolutely unbelievable defense. And on a pitching staff that has trouble throwing quality strikes, you need to have a great defense. And right now, Kevin Pillar, you have to play your hot hand if you're John Gibbons, because you need to win games. To me, it's Kevin Pillar. And then you start mixing in some Michael Saunders when he gets here. I'm not saying he doesn't play. I'm just saying, you get Kevin Pillar some at-bats.
Yeah, he's, as I said, he's been one of the real early season stories for the Toronto Blue Jays. We're very pleased to be joined on Baseball Central by Kevin Pillar. Kevin, thanks a lot for doing this today. Before we get to the season in general, I wanted to get your take on what happened last night and where you think this goes from here. Some pretty strong words from both Adam Jones and Jose Bautista about what transpired last night.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely, tempers flared. It got real emotional and, look forward to, getting out there tonight. And, we play them a lot of times throughout the year, so it's something that's in the back of your mind. And, I really can't comment a whole lot on what happened. I just know that, that's twice that it's happened to Bautista, and he's, he stepped up to the plate and answered the bell twice. So, I hope they don't continue to throw at him, but if they do, I expect fireworks from him.
Yeah, Kevin, is there a different feel in the clubhouse? And you just, to me, watching the games and watching how you guys react to everything, it just looks different. You guys look more together, and the chemistry seems to be a lot better. Is that the feel in the clubhouse? Is that the way it is there?
Yeah, definitely. And we had a We had a players only meeting yesterday, and it wasn't about anything specific. You know, it was just about, you know, little things, and you know, that's something that I haven't really experienced before. You know, being up here the last parts of 2 years, just you know, changing leadership, guys wanting to step up. You know, talk about little things, whether it's, you know, music in the clubhouse or, you know, a tire on the plane, but, you know, just to bring the team together and, you know, talk about where we're at as a team and, you know, really, really preach, togetherness. And, I think yesterday was a perfect example. You know, Russ was really adamant on the bench, you know, after he hit that home run to everyone, get out of the dugout, pick him up on that front step and, you know, pretty much send a message, to the other side that, you know, you mess with one of us, you're going to get all 25.
Kevin, it's pretty clear to a lot of us that, Josh Donaldson and Russell Martin have really kind of put their mark in this team, that along with Jose and Edwin and the other guys who've been here for a while, there just seems to be a lot more, I'm going to use the word jam. There seems to be a lot more jam to this team than other Jays teams that I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, I think just with the addition of those two guys, you know, you're bringing not only two superstars in the game, but, you know, some of the most competitive guys you're going to find out on the field. And, you know, we already had that with guys like Encarnacion and Batista and Burley, you know, Stroman when healthy. And, you know, I just think bringing in competitive guys, those competitive vibes and competitive juices flow over to everyone on the team.
In conversation with Kevin Pillar of the Toronto Blue Jays. Kevin, you had a great spring. You secured your position. You know, yeah, Michael Saunders got hurt, but one of the things John Gibbons said, both you, Devin, and Dalton Pompey, you won jobs. I mean, you did. The opening was there. You stepped through. You played. You took advantage of the situation. You got the job. What told you or what made you think in spring training maybe that you were going to have the type of spring that would allow this to happen? Because, I mean, even with the injury, you looked pretty locked in almost from the first day to the end.
Well, I think just a lot of the moves they made in the offseason, I knew that the way the roster was constructed, even with the addition of Saunders, that, you know, how we stood, aside from some of the non-roster invites, that, you know, I was one of four outfielders on the roster, that, you know, if I went in and put the work in like I knew I was going to do in the offseason, that I had the keys to the, you know, I had the golden ticket to make the roster, whether it was, you know, starting in center field, left field, coming off the bench when they needed me to. But, you know, the moves they made in the offseason pretty much just gave me that extra motivation to work harder and train harder and get my swing right and get my mind right. And, you know, I realized the biggest thing holding me back was, you know, just having a little bit of plate discipline at the plate. And I studied hitters. I watched good hitters. I watched a lot of my old at-bats. And, you know, I really tried to figure out the reason of why I was chasing so many pitches. And it really came down to just being late and, you know, not reading the pitch out of hand. You know, and not giving myself maximum amount of time to make judgment on pitches. And that was my biggest focus. I always knew I could hit. I always knew I could play the field. I always knew I was going to compete out there, but I knew it was just that small, minute detail that was going to allow me to, you know, not only make the team, but, you know, have an impact.
Yeah. Kevin, let me ask you, every night that I watch you play, you make some unbelievable play in the outfield. And being a guy that's never really played the outfield, I've always played infield. It's very impressive to watch a guy do the things you do in the outfield. Tell me and explain to me how you do. Is it just first step? Is it reading balls off the bat? Is it as simple as just seeing ball, run after ball, and catch ball? Is that how you do it, or is there a special thing that you do every day to work on that to make these plays that you make in the outfield?
Yeah, I think a lot of it's a combination of all the things you talked about. But I really pride myself on defense, and I pride myself in the work I do every day during batting practice. I'm sure you've heard it before, but there's no substitute to taking balls off the bat. And batting practice is the best time for all of us to get our work in, whether you're in the infield or outfield. You know, but I get out there with our hitting coach every day, and I just work on my footwork early on in BP. getting sideways, feeling ground balls, making some throws to second base. And then for the most part, I'm getting used to not only reading the ball off the bat, but, you know, really locking in on the strike zone and trying to see the bat go through the zone before contact's made. And that allows me to get it maybe a half a step or full step, you know, in the right direction. And, you know, I was thinking about it too. A lot of these good plays have come on days when Burley's pitching, and I think there's no substitute for, you know, how quick he works. He definitely keeps the fielders, you know, on their toes. He's in the strike zone, and that was something I was thinking about last night. That it's kind of ironic that it's happened on days he's thrown, but I caught myself out there yesterday, like really noticing how quick he works and. You know, how quickly you got to get back and focus in on the strike zone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen, Kevin, we really appreciate you joining us. Keep it up. It's the hell of a lot of fun to watch you hit and field. And as I said, we really appreciate you doing this. And stay healthy, man. You're doing well.
Yeah, thanks, Kev.
Well, thank you, guys.
It's Kevin Pillar of the Toronto Blue Jays.
Jeff, let me ask you, you've covered a lot of these teams. How many times you hear a guy come on, talk about what you're going to wear on a plane, how you win off the field before you start winning mm-hmm. on the field. If you want to be a winner, you have to act like a winner. That's what I took from that.
Yeah, and the other thing, I mean, you've spent a lot of times in the clubhouse. Clubhouse life has got its own set of unwritten rules. You know, music's a perfect example. Right. No music when you lose. You know, who gets to control the music? Sometimes it's a starting pitcher when the guys are out in batting practice, a starting pitcher and the catcher are the only ones in there, so they can pretty much control. But it's kind of about finding a balance. How do we exist as individuals? Because everybody's an individual. How do we exist as individuals? And how do we keep ourselves from not hating each other by the end of 162 games? Because you're going to get however many 25, 30 guys in there, there's a chance that two or three guys are going to get the stink eye at each other.
Yeah.
There's a chance that not everybody's going to get along. And what I like about this is it seems as if some of the veterans have said, look, you young guys, this is what you do. You wear this, you wear this. Mm-hmm. This is who controls the music. This is how, if you don't like the music, this is what you do about it. If we got to do this, this is who you go and talk to. And I love the fact that Kevin Pillar said that after Jose Bautista hit that home run, it was Russell Martin that told everybody to get their ass out of the dugout and get in the field. And that is exactly why the Blue Jays have brought people like Russell Martin in. Is that going to win a World Series? No. Is it going to make the Jays happier for 162 games? Could very well do that. Might that be worth the odd win? I don't know. Maybe in a day where everybody feels like crap, mm-hmm. maybe it will be worth a win. But it's a, it's, you know, it that's why you got Josh Donaldson and Russ Martin. Was it's not just a matter of kicking everybody's ass every now and then. It's about teaching young guys how to be major leaguers and how to do the right things every day. And it was a great conversation with Kevin Pillar. That's it for Baseball Central today. Mark Rogoski from Oshawa, Ontario, congratulations. You have qualified for the Toronto Raptors trip. Dean Blundell and company will announce the grand prize winner for tomorrow. That is us. That is it for us. For Kevin Barker and Kevin Pillar, I'm Jeff Blair saying thanks so much for joining us today on Baseball Central. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 right after the Jeff Blair Show from 9 to 11. Have a great day, everybody.